Before I get to preaching this morning, Matthew, put up that picture that I got, that single picture. We went to some things for Christmas, and I thought this was spectacular. Make it a little bigger so it's easier for him to see. Yeah, trying to figure out. Having a hard time seeing it. How many of you can see what that is, just the size it is? It's a Florida snowman. See the hat floating in the water and the piece of coal, and if you got really up on it, you could see little arms in the background and things floating. I found out they're still available on Amazon. So that's about the weirdest gift that I saw this Christmas. It's all right, Matt. It's not cooperating. Oh, there we go. Yeah, Florida snowman. We don't know how old that is. That belonged to Lisa's uncle. And we went down to see family, and we had we did robber bingo with the family at my brother-in-law's church. And it was a pretty good-sized group. Yeah. And this thing's probably 40 years old at least. But you can still buy one on Amazon if you're really desperate for one. Florida snowman. How many of you, anybody get any weird gifts that you'll tell us about? Yeah, what? Washer and dryer, a clothespin with a metal washer attached to it. Washer and dryer combo. I like that. That's cute. Did anybody get anything really special? I got a Snapchat message. I got a Snapchat request and then a message. And I haven't told Carson yet, but he's the first person that I've ever Snapchatted with. Like, I've snapped, but I've never chatted. My daughter-in-law, the only reason I have Snapchat, so don't start sending your Snapchat requests to me, because I'm not going to, I answered Carson's, but I'm not going to do this. I am not going to get on all these different social media things. They'll drive me crazy. But my daughter-in-law does Snapchat with some of the videos of the kids, and then Lisa and I can go and we can click and see videos of the kids, you know, and we love that stuff. My mom and dad got a cool gift from their granddaughter and her husband. It's a video thing that allows us to video with them, so that they can show mom and dad pictures of their great grandson down in Columbus, and we can, you know, do live, and it just sits on the table and sets up. And so if I want to call dad and actually see him, I can just ring him up and I actually see him. So that's going to be fun. Did anybody else get anything cool for Christmas? You're allowed to talk. Tell us something good. Did anybody get anything? Yeah, what'd you get? New knob for Christmas. There you go. No, it doesn't have to be like, you know, it doesn't have to be a Ferrari, people. I'm just glad you got some gifts. Did you all get something?
I got a Ferrari.
You got a Ferrari? Okay, John got the Ferrari. I wondered where that was at. Josh made out like a bandit? You know, he got a Switch, and I found out my grandson got a Switch from his dad. And, you know, that's pretty cool. That's a gaming thing. And he got a cell phone. There you go. Wow. So, see, some of us got some nice stuff for Christmas. That's good. If you will, turn to Isaiah chapter 9, and I hope to get some maybe participation from you a little bit later, but I don't know. You don't all seem super participatory today. You're kind of like, what is it? It's a sugar coma. Is that what it is? Sitting back, how many gained weight over the holiday? I did. I confess. Good for you. I put these pants on this morning, and I was like, okay. I need to get myself a vice. Squeeze some of the body into those pair of pants. All right, Isaiah chapter 9. We actually read this earlier, and it may sound like I'm going after Christmas here, and I'm going after Christmas. That's what we're doing today. So Isaiah 9, I'm going to actually read you four verses. I'm going to read from Isaiah 9, Luke 2, John 4, and 2 Corinthians 9. But I'll just start out with this one, Isaiah 9 and verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Now reading from Luke, just to go with that, listen up. And then the angel said to them, Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Going right along with that from John chapter 4, Jesus answered and said to her, If you knew the gift, everybody say gift. If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, Give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. And then finally from 2 Corinthians 9:15, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. That's kind of why I was asking you about gifts. Now you know. I was asking about gifts because, well, the greatest gift that ever was given has been given to us. I know maybe you didn't get exactly what you wanted for Christmas this year. Maybe there's other things you would like to have that you still haven't got. Maybe there's some things that you need and you're thinking, boy, I wish someone would give me that. $1 million would be a great gift. But this gift that God has given us, the scripture says, is indescribable. Or in another place it says inexpressible. We try though, don't we? We try to express what we've received. And you know, over the last several days, most of us have participated in giving and receiving. And that's a good thing. And how many of you older saints, now that the kids are out of the sanctuary, you've noticed that it really sometimes is better to give than receive. Christmas time is one of those times when, you know, I cannot make the motions. I cannot rev my body up and do the things that my grandson Smith can do with his body when he's happy. You know, when you watch those little kids and you watch them get excited and you watch them enjoy what they're experiencing, when you watch them take that amazing gift out of the box and then climb into the box and ignore the gift, you know, it's just so good. And we had that fun, you know, multiple times this year. Our family in Logan and our family, we went over to Auburn and opened up gifts over there. And then our family from Auburn, Josh and his kids came over to be with the rest of us over here. The whole family was at our house. Mom and dad were there. And Joey and Bree, my niece and nephew from down in Columbus, came up with my brother and 15 of us. That's huge for hackers. I know some of you Florence-related people and Saba-related, you know, there's you people who grew up in families where there were 11 or 12 kids. It's like, yeah, whatever, 15 of you. We have that by accident. You know, we had to organize it to get 15. It really is such a neat time of year. And it's good that we not only share gifts with one another, but that we remember the greatest gift of all. And Jesus is the greatest gift of all. And though he really is inexpressible in many ways, yet we do try to express what he means to us, what this time of year means to us, but even more what he means to us. And it's a very powerful thing. Telling people about Jesus is important, but I want to read you one more scripture. Because while telling people about Jesus is important, I have found that the words that I need to tell people about Jesus don't work as well as something else. In 1 John 4:17, love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. Some of you know this is one of my favorite scriptures. It really got my attention. I want to read it again. That was the New King James Version. Here's the NIV. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. In this world, we are like Jesus. I saw somebody the other day, he posted, you know, his goal for 2020. His vision for 2020 is to, you know, love the Lord his God with all his heart and soul and mind, and love his neighbor as himself. And, you know, that's his goal. And that's admirable. That's wonderful. And I don't mean to make it sound like, you know, that's a mistake in any way, except I do want to say this. I find it interesting that Jesus actually said, loving the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and loving your neighbor as yourself is the law. And in that, the law and the prophets are summed up. So that's the way to boil the law down to two things. But then Jesus turned around a little later and he said something else. He said, I give you a new commandment. You will love one another as I have loved you. Whoa. I don't know if you can get your head around this, but God doesn't want you to love him with everything you've got. He wants you to love with everything that he's got. And there are times when if you allow yourself to be a vessel, you can love in spite of what you got. There's been times when I was ready to give people a piece of something that I had. I'm going to give you a piece of, I'm going to tell you what I think right now. And something in the spirit got a hold of me and stopped me and made me more loving than I could have been on my own. Because we're not commanded to love with all that we've got by Jesus. We're commanded to love with all that he's got. As much as I want to love my neighbor as myself, and sometimes I need to work on that because I don't love myself enough, and I want to love God with all that I've got, I need to realize that all of I got isn't enough. It never will be enough. But if I've got all that he's got inside of me, and I love with all that he's got, I can overcome what I got. But sometimes what I got's contagious and it needs to be eradicated. Does that make sense to anybody but me? So help us, Jesus, to love with all that you've got, Lord. I want to show you a little video. This little video, I actually talked about this a few years back, but I don't think I showed the video at the time. But this is just an example of how somebody can do something that might seem pretty simple, and the doing of it turns into something spectacular, turns into something amazing, turned into something life-changing.
This morning's installment of our series, A More Perfect Union, examines an unexpected but powerful friendship. Sorry. We're looking at unique connections to highlight how Americans have more in common than recent headlines might suggest. Steve Hartman shows us how an 82-year-old widower was touched by an innocent question in the canned food aisle of a grocery store when he needed it most.
Not long ago, in a cemetery outside Augusta, Georgia, a loving couple was buried. The wife buried below this white bouquet. The husband buried above in a mound of grief.
Took me totally by surprise.
82-year-old Dan Peterson says after Mary died, he fell into a deep depression. Spent days just staring out at the squirrels.
What were you living for?
I was trying to figure that out, frankly.
You had no purpose?
No.
Were you just waiting to die?
Yeah.
For 6 months, it was just that bad.
And then one day you go to a grocery store.
It all changed inside this Publix.
Dan was nearing the end of the canned vegetable aisle. He hates grocery shopping, and by all accounts, the expression on his face confirmed his aggravation. But that's when this unapproachable man was approached by a 4-year-old girl named Nora Wood.
In the security footage, you can see Nora randomly reaching out to him. Her mom, Tara, says it was quite embarrassing.
She stood up and said, "Hi, old person, it's my birthday today."
Old person?
Old person.
"Hi, old person."
She says this to this cranky old man?
Yeah.
And then had the audacity to demand a hug.
I said, "A hug?" I said, "Absolutely."
Nora got her hug and then asked her mom to take a picture of her with her new friend.
She zeroed in on him like a missile. And she didn't want anything from him. She just wanted to make him feel loved and give him a hug. And his little lip quivered and he was teared up. And it was just sweet.
And I said, you don't know. This is the first time for quite a while that I've been as happy.
That all happened a couple months ago, and his grin has only gotten wider since.
Hi, sweetheart. Come in. Come in.
Today, Nora visits at least once a week.
So how's my sweetie, huh?
And every time, it's the grocery store all over again.
I knew I was going to get a hook. Oh, it's unbelievable. Totally unbelievable.
It's a bridge.
It's a bridge. Oh, okay.
Dan does have grandkids of his own, but they're all grown and gone. And Nora does have grandparents. But her mom says this is a completely different kind of bond that almost defies explanation.
She fell asleep holding a picture of them. What?
To Dan, it's equally miraculous, but far less mysterious. He believes Nora is, quite literally, an angel.
She opened me to a love that I didn't know existed.
Dan, let me ask you. When your wife died, you felt like you didn't have any purpose anymore. Do you feel like you have a purpose now?
Of course. Nora, watching her grow up, I know I made room in my heart for a lot more.
Steve Hartman joins us now.
Oh, my God, Steve.
Wow.
Jeez.
What do you think? What do you attribute this bond to?
I don't know. Nora is not one of these kids that goes out and talks to everybody she meets. This was a one-time thing, just reaching out to some random stranger in a grocery store. So this really defies explanation.
But she saw something in him when she goes up and says, old person, of all the people in the grocery store. She saw something.
What it was senior day there. There were lots of old persons
there. Yeah, but
there.
She walked up to him.
Yes.
How does Dan describe the bond? How does he explain it?
Dan thinks that there's God at work here.
Yeah, I do, too.
To be blunt.
I do, too.
But he also wants, he has a message here. He thinks there's lots of other lonely old persons out there.
Yeah.
And lots of preschoolers with hugs of plenty. And he'd like to see more of them come together.
You know, Steve,
I love everything Steve does. Yeah. Everything you do. But you said this was your favorite story.
This is
because?
Because anytime you get different generations falling in love with each other, that gets me.
In a word, what has he added to her life?
I don't know, because she's a little bit hard to talk to. She's four. I couldn't really do an interview with her. Yeah. But all I recognize is just that I was there for about an hour, and there were about at least five or six hugs.
Yeah.
So she's found something that goes beyond even a grandparent thing.
And I love her mother encouraging it, too. I love that she gets to go see him once a week.
Yeah, beautiful stories.
Really, really nice.
Thank you.
Need another box of tissues with you, Mr. Hartman.
Isn't that good? Wow, a four-year-old. I love that Dan credits it to God. Good for Dan. He recognizes God in the littlest thing. He could have been completely closed to it. He could have, said no and wandered off, but he gave her a hug and it changed his life. You never know when something that we do is going to make a big impact in a way that we don't expect. And this story may not be like the most, Christian big testimony. It wasn't trumpeted initially on Christian TV. I don't know if a lot of Christian TV picked it up or if any big ministries picked it up. But while it may not be overtly Christian, it really is a great example of what we can do if we will be the one. And again, I told this story. I don't think I showed this story several years ago now. This actually happened in 2016 is when this took place. So the little girl is now seven. And I couldn't find a lot about what's happened since then. But, it wasn't her great financial prowess or her abilities or her great intelligence or anything else. It was just something really simple that somebody needed. And, maybe if things had been a little different, maybe he would have gotten the hug and somehow not gotten their address and still might have gone off and had his life changed and No one might have heard it. In fact, I wonder how many times this has happened. Like, think about it. In a world full of 7-point-some billion people now, how many times has one person made a difference like that, one little person? And what could we possibly do? To me, she was an amazing gift to a man who needed it. I know people need the gift of God named Jesus. I know that's true. But I would like to suggest something. People need the gift of God named John. People need the gift of God named Jeremiah. People need the gift of God named Bernie and Joan and Jack and Joanne. Did I almost say that wrong? Dwayne? Sorry, Mom. It's really bad when you can't even say your mom's own name. And Rob. And I can start going around the room and just name all of you, because people need the gift of God named you. They need the gift of God that you are. And here's the thing. You are a gift from God. You may not feel like you're that important. It's a great thing about being childlike, because a child doesn't think about what other people think. A child blurts out, "Hey, old person." Now, realistically here, I probably don't want to go down the aisle and blurt out, "Hey, old lady." I might need to be a little smarter than that, just because I'm a little older myself. And who knows what the old lady will think if I blurt that out like that. She may think, "Hey." No, never mind. So you got to be careful, I guess, as an adult. You can't be as childlike. But isn't it amazing that some little tiny thing like that can make such a huge difference? And you could be someone who makes a huge difference. Because you are the gift of God. Because God says, as he was, so are you in this world. The only Jesus some people are going to meet is you or me. And that's the only chance they've got of really coming into an experience with Jesus. And that's when the love of God flows through us, sometimes in spite of us. I don't have time, even if the crowd is a little small today, to pick on everybody in the room. But maybe I can just point out a few gifts to us. Maybe it'd be best for me to pick on people who aren't here. You know, Kurt's not here today. That's another one of the people. He and Rhonda had to go down to Tennessee. They got grandbabies in Tennessee. How many of you grandparents get it? You understand why they left? Well, I don't get it. They need to be... No. I get it. They took off for Tennessee because it's the season. I was thrilled to death that Kurt was able to help us out on Christmas Eve. I know some people had places to be on Christmas Eve. I get it. Kurt does a lot of stuff and has done a lot of stuff for us in the last couple of years. He works at a hospital who went through a major change in all of their computing software. Some of you remember we had video monitors piled up in our extra office, the one that John uses. We had video. I had at one point 180 video monitors that we were able to sell because they were donated to us by a hospital. Kurt just took five more computers that were shelved, found them, went through and refurbished them, took out old hard drives and put in new ones, and got them all together. I didn't even see him. I just wrote a nice email to his boss, as I've been doing. Thanks again for the donation. And Kurt fixed them, got them ready, and gave us a check for $750. Yeah, come on, that's pretty good. That's pretty good. And so I don't know how much altogether. I mean, it's I don't know, $5,000-$6,000 I think we've gotten on used equipment that other people needed, and we sold it to them for a good price and sold it at our yard sales and put them out there and listed them on Facebook, and boom. I'm thankful for Kurt. Isn't that neat? And he's making a difference. And he's just one person. The Schnitzkys, you know, I just appreciate Mark and Melissa. All of our worship team people, do you realize they have to come in early on Sunday? And even then, it's not enough practice because this guy sometimes just can't play the melody line, you know, like I was struggling with today. You know, we come in, we practice, we prepare. There's a lot that goes into trying to get a worship team to sound good. And honestly, we are so blessed. You wouldn't believe the number of pastors that I know that would probably cut off a big toe to get the worship team that we have in bigger churches than us. We've got some neat people who really work and work hard to do things. And you know, besides Mark and Melissa having beautiful voices, they're very encouraging people. Mark especially, he's just full of encouragement and the life and love of God. I've appreciated Corey this year. She's had some big shoes to fill. And probably hasn't done everything that would have always been done the way it was done before. And, you know, that's a job, adapting and then, you know, still taking care of three kids and working another side job. I mean, she's been a busy girl, been a busy year for her. And we've just now finished really the first year with Corey as the church secretary. So she's only got 34 more, right, to match Joan. And, you know, since I'm on the subject, Joan still helps to make sure that we don't forget stuff and overlook things. And, you know, there was a nice list that Joan wrote all the stuff down, but she didn't write down everything because she couldn't remember it all to write down. And then, you know, Corey and I, of course, we have to read that list, and we don't remember to do that all the time. So I'm so thankful that Joan does that. And Joan's a gift. Joan's a gift. Each one of these people that I've mentioned, they're gifts to us. They really are. Lisa Davis is at home today taking care of her recovering child, man-child. And she's been coordinating all this stuff in the back with children's ministry. And that's a gift to us. I'm so thankful that Lisa does that. It's a big deal. But I'm also thankful that Matt's back there in the back. And part of him would rather probably be hovering over the kidlet at home, and he sacrificed and came here today, you know, and made sure that the video's working and, you know, there was sound and things were working. And, you know, he just does a lot. And, you know, I throw a picture and a video up there, and he's finds out 5 minutes before the service and still makes it work for me. You know, that's kind of cool. So I appreciate those things so much. I appreciate drummers who keep the beat for us. You know, the Johns. And you may not know this, but we've done a lot to this stage that we couldn't have done without John Ousley wanting to try to fix a few things for us, and they are better. And then he got tired of the drum set in the middle, so he bought his own and brought it in, and he uses it. That's it wasn't cheap either. I appreciate that stuff. That's a gift to us. That's a gift to our church. And I could keep going, and maybe I should. You know, the Greavies are amazing. They're some of the last people out whenever there's something going on in the fellowship hall. They always want to make sure it's cleaned up. And our grass gets mowed, and our parking lot gets plowed. And even today, Alyssa picked up the shift in the back with the kids because Lisa couldn't be there. And I just appreciate that. That's a gift to us. They're a gift to us. I wrote some down this morning. I sat down and started thinking about people like the Steinmetzes who are always around, and they do extra cleaning. You know, we have a sanctuary cleaning, but every week the Steinmetzes and every week Wanda, they come over and they make sure things are cleaned up. And every week, back there behind the computer, Jason's making sure the words go up so that we can keep track of what's going on with the songs. And I'll tell you something else the Steinmetzes do that I really appreciate. They pray. Them and Wanda and Sue, and I'm not sure who all comes out to prayer on Wednesdays, but they come out and they pray. And it makes a difference. Do you see that? That's a gift. Now, I'm saying all these, maybe you're thinking of somebody who's a gift. Maybe you could come up here and testify that someone's been a gift to you. I'm going to tempt you with that. Anybody want to risk that? Think about it a second. I'll say another one. Bill Ames. Bill makes sure our parking lots get graded and the green stuff that tries to grow everywhere dies because he sprays it, and he made sure that we don't rip up our drain system over here by putting up a couple of things so that when Jeremiah's guy comes out, he's got these little things spinning so he knows where it's at. And, you know, when there's a lot of snow on, it's hard to see where anything's at sometimes out here. It's blowing sideways. I appreciate those things that are being done. And if I didn't call your name, it's not because I don't appreciate you. And by the way, Tom and Karen are missing today, too. They're in Colorado. I said that earlier. They got family. But I really appreciate them jumping in and singing and being part. And I got to tell you, they're always, always, they drive the furthest, and they're always the first ones here when they're on the platform. They're always the first ones here. And that is a gift. I really appreciate that. Now, I'm just going to ask you, anybody want to express your appreciation for someone who's a gift for you or been a gift to you? Anybody? Come on up here. Where'd I put the thing? There it is. Let me grab it. I put it over here today. Here we go.
Share. Okay.
All right, what? Oh.
I got a new job at the school, and it kind of took away from somebody, Beth. But Beth has been really great for me. I lost my father, and she was the one that was there for me. She let me cry. She's been a blessing to me, and I hope I can be as good a friend as she is to me.
Amen. Amen. Come on. Who's a gift?
A gift to me is everybody, but blessings here have been Beth, my mom, Jack, and Joanne. Did I say your mom's name right?
She spells it Joan, but it's Joanne.
Joan.
Blame grandma. It's Joanne, but that's how grandma spelled it.
How about if I just go mom and dad or grandma and grandpa?
Yeah, there you go.
Because they're actually, they could be my grandma.
They could. Grandpa. They could.
Okay. How about the blankets of love? Because them ladies make blankets for hats for babies, blankets for our elderly people, for our cancer people. Them ladies are amazing.
They are.
So I want to thank you and appreciate you ladies that come out on Tuesday afternoons and take your time and make them hats or blankets. That is amazing. I used to, until I went to First Shift, come out and watch and talk with you ladies. Just amazing. And mom and dad, grandma and grandpa back there, you two are amazing. I got to assist with them for a little bit, and seeing them walk together, the faith, hope, and love, you guys are amazing. You are an inspiration to me that when my husband and I get your age, I hope we shine just like you do.
Amen.
And another thing that is amazing, and it was for Christmas, – My mom was awesome. If you see, my mom, my sister, and I, we all have heart necklaces on. That is my dad. My nieces and my daughter, they all have heart necklaces as well, but they have stones in it. Also have my dad, which is their grandfather. And my sons and all the grandsons, let me go that way, all the granddaughters and all the grandsons also were represented with a necklace that my mom and my dad, bless his heart, is in heaven. We all have necklaces with my dad, and we were blessed with that on Christmas.
Yeah.
And thank you, Mom. We love you.
Amen. Good, good, good. Come on, you don't have to. This service could go on all day. All right, maybe not all day, but.
My beautiful mother-in-law, she's just fantastic, and she does so much for us. And like Pastor mentioned earlier for worship team, we come in an hour early. Having three young ones is really hard. And every Sunday that John and I are both up here, she'll always call or text, "Are you guys on this Sunday?" And she's here without a fail to help with the kids in the back, even when Dakota's here to help with them, so we can get up here and serve. And I know whenever I'm having a rough day or if I have a prayer request, I just call and text her, and she's just always there.
Oh, that's cool. See, that's a gift. Anybody else? Come on. This is your opportunity to be thankful for a gift. Anybody? All right, here comes one.
Lisa, I really appreciate you being a mom to everybody here, and you always make sure there's love for everybody. And Tim, for, I guess, whatever reason.
Whatever, yeah. And if you haven't seen it, there's this amazing memory up on Facebook of John eating yellow snow. And that was orange juice or whatever it was that we poured in the snow, in case anybody really wanted. Apple juice, is that what it was? Yeah. He still remembers the taste of apple juice snow. Well, I think you got the picture today, didn't you? I really want to encourage us to maybe you're nervous about getting up in front of people, and I get that, but take a minute today or this week, think about who's a gift and think about yourself as a gift, and then go out and give those who are a gift to you the encouragement they need so that they know that they are a gift. That is powerful. And by the way, Lisa was on my list. And Betty, I ran out of room on my list, but I was sitting there, I thought, okay, that was when it hit me. If you say them all, nobody else will. So that was why I was wanting to give you guys a little chance, you know. Like, I didn't pick on Mike and Wanda as much. They youth tonight. But yeah, they bring kids to youth. And we have a good time. Each of you in here has been a blessing to me at one time or another, whether you realize it or not. And I thank you for that. I really do. And I hope that each of us can go out of here now and realize, okay, don't diminish the gift that you are. If you don't think you're a gift, you'll have a hard time being the gift that you should be. If your esteem for the fact that God has put you here and you still have multiple opportunities, not just one, but even if there's only one left, even if there's one fella named Dan somewhere, you know, that needs you, and that's the last one you're going to get to do, do it well. Be the gift that you are and let other people know that they are the gift that they are. And I think if we can learn to do that, yes, we want to share the gospel. We want to share it with our mouths. We want to tell people the good news. We want to tell people about Jesus. But boy, if you can be Jesus to somebody, then you'll change a life. Just like that little four-year-old girl in the video. You can make a difference. And you will make a difference. Because I believe God's working in you to do it. Amen.